is the leader of the Nasty Nation, a.k.a. that man, Nasty Leroy himself, the mayor of Pound Town, the highest in the game. And you listen, wait. Listen. You're listening to Fight Guys, and that's Nasty Leroy approved. Now listen to the podcast, or don't be a rat bastard.
Try to contain it, okay? I know it's funny.
Hall of Famer, yeah.
But the greatest heavy metal band in the world, Steel Panther.
Did you get that? That was my sigh. I was sighing.
Wow. And you are going to find a rusty nail, and you're going to slit your wrist, and you're going to kill yourself. That's where you're going, Jack. You need to lighten up.
This is Stone Cold Steve Austin, right?
Yeah.
When he's driving, and you cut him off at an intersection.
Yeah.
Okay. What?
Yeah, do some shrooms or something.
Have you ever seen The Attitude Adjustment? That's a move.
I'm scared because I was actually talking about the voices that I hear in my head, and I now realize we were talking about Randy Orton.
I remember when Chris Benoit killed his family and then hung himself from the weight machine. Let's do that in a match at WrestleMania.
I am Jack Peterson, I'm Ajax, I am Mr. Clean, I'm Sex Pac, I'm the man of 1,000 strongly worded wrestling opinions, I'm soon to be Mr. Predictions, I'm Googly Eye, and I'm joined every single week by the man across the internet.
I'm Prince Havoc, I'm Too Sweet, I'm Phil X, I'm Mr. Bright Light, I'm Mr. New Mike, and Jack, this is episode 19, and I gotta say, I'm feeling great. How are you feeling?
You know, I'm feeling certainly interesting. We are 1 week away from what's going to be the worst episode of Fightgeist ever when you take over my job and you host. Because episode 20, it's a big one, 20 episodes, Phil, Prince Havoc, the man himself, is going to be hosting. He is going to be controlling the technical controls. He's going to be controlling the topics. He's going to be controlling the way the show goes, the way it flows. And... Man, I think we're in for an interesting treat. What do you have planned for next week?
Oh, I would not tell you what I have planned. You're just going to have to tune in. I mean, you're the host, so you're going to be there. Actually, wait, I'm the host. I am going to have the best episode you've ever had. I'm telling you right now. I don't know why you doubt me, but listen, everyone, go ahead and doubt me. I love being the underdog. I thrive being the underdog. And you're going to see, you're all going to see how good episode 20 is going to be, because I will be the man to host it.
You know, speaking of things that we have planned, we were supposed to have the Central Park Street Fight, our big match we've been building up to. It's supposed to be this week. And we said last week that we'd have at least an announcement on the exact date that that match was happening, coming out on YouTube for this week, or we'd have it released already. Both of those things aren't true at this point, and some of those things are beyond our control, some of those things are not. Phil, why don't you explain, since it's basically on your end, why don't you explain why the CPSF has to be delayed at this point kind of indefinitely?
Well, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed. So, okay, here's what really happened. I was just taking a walk, right? And then I dropped my burrito. And it rolled into the street, and I went to go get it in the street, and then I got hit by a car. And yeah, now my legs hurt a lot, and I'm not medically cleared to compete.
Yeah. Huh. That's a likely story. It's not what you told me few days ago about why you couldn't come to the CPSF.
Oh, no, that's why I told you. That's what I told you.
Yeah, right. There are other reasons, namely the fact, and I'll break kayfabe here because I know you were just trying to go with the show, but also, you know, we were real here on Fight Guys.
Are we real? This is a real show?
I would like to think.
We a couple of real motherfuckers, right?
Well, I mean, not anymore. Not if you said it like that. Yeah. Not into that whole idea anymore. Okay. What happened is, well, your parents won't let us go. Your parents won't let you come out to play, huh?
Yeah, I'm a child, and I can't go out to play, basically.
Right.
It's a typical COVID-19 crisis situation. I mean, it's kind of beyond my beyond my control. So, I mean, listen, it's the way it is. But what can you do? It's going to happen. It's not like it's not going to happen. But, you know, it's a little bit delayed right now.
Now, see, Central Park Street Fight is what's implied in the title there is that anything goes. But apparently, you can have the towel thrown in for you at any time by your parents if they don't like how far it's going. Is that what's happening?
I am Brian Cage, and you're trying to tear my bicep off of my bone, and there are a couple of tads of throwing the towel in.
That's a very good analogy. So let me just say straight up what happened, since you won't say it, and you're going to pretend you have a fake injury. What happened exactly?
I do.
Yeah, all right. You do have a fake injury. Great. I'm glad you admit it. So what happened step for step was that we were supposed to tape the Central Park Street Fight this past weekend, or at least within the next few days after that. I mean, we could have been taping it today. Who knows? But the thing is, it's not just because the pandemic is happening, because the numbers are at a record low in New York at this point. I've gone back to work. Phil is still playing GTA all day. But things have returned to pretty much normal in New York City. The thing is, though, that we were planning on doing the CPSF with all the safety precautions we needed. We were planning on having everything, you know, very, very safe, because we do care about our safety and other people's safety, too. Everybody who was going to be there was, of course, going to be wearing masks, was going to be social distancing. The only thing we couldn't do was have me and Phil social distance. We couldn't have me and Phil wear masks during the shoot, because you can't really have a wrestling match like that. With masks on, with, you know, obviously you can't social distance because we're fighting each other. So, I mean, disappointed.
Jimmy Lloyd and Joey Janela did it. And
That's true.
Jack, I'm sorry you don't have parents that love you. I know it must be hard. I know that's why you grow your little beard out. That's why you have the haircut that you have. That's why you listen to the music that you listen to. But it's going to be okay. It gets better from here.
I'll have you know, my dad's actually watching the podcast live right now on Twitch, twitch.tv/FightGeistWrestling. So there's one of my parents right there. And
I bet he can... On a scale from 1 to 10, how much do you love your son?
Please, Let's Dad, see. Answer that. I'll have you know, if I were to ask him right now, I think he'd be perfectly fine with me walking into this Central Park Street Fight and winning it by coughing directly into your mouth with my COVID breath. That's just my opinion, but I think that's what he'd be into.
You would love to cough in my mouth,
that would be a good way to win the match, to be totally honest. By the way, I'd like to point out that today we are performing, if you will. We are doing the podcast in front of the largest crowd we've ever had. We currently, in our live Twitch chat, have 11 people, which I'm breaking the fourth wall a little bit, breaking the fourth wall down, if you will. But yeah, we don't get a lot of people on these live broadcasts, so I'm happy to see that there are a lot of people watching today. And I'm disappointed by the fact that we are actually winging it. I came into this episode without any topics. I'm just going to be honest. I came into this episode not planned, not prepared, which is interesting because last week, or the next week, Phil is coming into the podcast as the host. And at that point, I wouldn't have to bring any topics either because he's controlling it. But this week, I decided to not exactly prepare. And that's on me. But I am convinced that Phil and I can talk about wrestling for a full hour without having any breaks or awkward pauses. I think we can do it, and I think we're going to do it. Yes. So that's what we're stuck with at this point, and that's what we're going to do, and that's okay. We have one thing we do have to talk about, and that's, of course, Extreme Rules. It was a big pay-per-view that happened. I know Phil's going to have some controversial opinions on it. He's going to say some stupid shit, just being honest. And I'm going to say some very true shit.
That's okay.
But we also have Sebi on the line. We're joined at this point by one of our most loyal fans, Sebi. I first want to hear a rundown here of what he thought of Extreme Rules top to bottom.
So Extreme Rules, if you could sum up like 90% of the matches that night, it's basically the matches were good, but the finishes kind of sucked. That was most of the matches for that night. The match of one of the two best matches of the night, obviously Sasha and Asuka, which nobody was gonna like go into that thing. Oh yeah, it's gonna suck because they're both great wrestlers. And then the other one that I really liked, and it's probably match of the night in my opinion, was Drew versus Dolph. And I have been too hot on Dolph since like maybe like 2013, but yeah. Like Dolph is still a consistently good wrestler, and he proved that through not only just like his actual wrestling, but the storytelling he was trying to put on there, as well as Drew with like the, you know, stipulation put in there.
Thank you Sebi for saying that, because that's exactly what I was saying last week. Dolph is still a good wrestler. I don't know what problem Jack has with Dolph. Like, I really don't know. I'm not sure. But listen, Dolph is really good. I thought that match was really cool. It was crazy because you know, the best wrestling matches are the matches where it's like, you know, someone's gonna win, but then you think that the other person's gonna win. You really think it, and then they don't win, and it's like, whoa, they freaking kick out and stuff. And honestly, I thought there was a moment where I thought Dolph was gonna win, and it shocked me. And I was mad. I texted Jack, very mad that Dolph Ziggler lost. But what I thought was really cool was the Claymore. Dude, he was tuning up the band, doing the Shawn Michaels, and then freaking Drew McIntyre just, he became the Flash, dude. Like, he got up so fast into that Claymore kick. As much as I wanted to hate Drew McIntyre in that moment, I couldn't really hate him. Now, the only thing I didn't like about the match was how Dolph did, what was it? He did the Famouser, he did the zigzag, and then he did like, what was it, a rock bottom or something?
Well, let me
that annoyed me because he like he kicked out at two. I was sad about that. But
let me be specific here. So you say right now you like this match, right?
Yeah.
So why did you text me during the match, "Wow, that sucked"? Famouser,
I was mad.
Famouser zigzag, slam on the chair, and he kicks out at two.
I just said that,
but I did like the claim. Yeah, so you liked the match, but
yeah,
you'll text me, "Wow, that sucked."
Yeah, I said that I texted you, and I was mad about it.
Yeah.
But now, after days have gone by, I realize, you know, it was a good match. It was a heat of the moment. I was a little upset, but it really was a good match. I'm interested to see what stipulation Drew McIntyre is gonna pick. And I hope Dolph wins.
You're interested in seeing a rematch between Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. I didn't like that match, to be honest. I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. We predicted last...
How did you not enjoy it?
Fuck off. Let me talk.
Are you watching the same thing I'm watching?
Sometimes I think you're not watching the same thing that I'm watching, and I'll get into that with the other matches. But
you're not watching the same thing I'm watching.
So, okay, we'll just go back and forth like this. So the thing about that match is, first of all, on the show last week, we predicted that Dolph Ziggler would pick Extreme Rules as a stipulation because that's the obvious one to go with. And he did, except he picked it for himself so that he could, like, you know, use any weapon. He could not get counted out, but Drew McIntyre could, and then he'd lose the title if it... So, for me, this feels like, which is a common theme in WWE, the idea that the good guy is just kind of an idiot because he thinks that he's a lot tougher than he is. And Drew McIntyre is plenty tough, and obviously he can beat Dolph Ziggler in pretty much any stipulation. So his argument was, I could beat him in any stipulation, so I'll let him pick the stipulation. This stipulation could have been anything. It could have been a 10-on-1 handicap match, and he could have brought in all the biggest guys in WWE and just destroyed Drew McIntyre. And then Drew McIntyre would look pretty stupid, huh? So this is almost like that, where Dolph Ziggler just gives himself all the leeway in the world, gives himself the ability to use weapons and not get counted out. And then if Drew McIntyre does the same thing, he'll lose the title on a technicality that wouldn't have cost him the title anyway. It's just, it makes, I mean, Drew ended up winning, so I guess it doesn't matter, but it makes Drew McIntyre look pretty fucking stupid for saying, I want Dolph Ziggler in any match possible.
I mean, I don't think it makes him look stupid. I mean, I think the heel just did what the heel did, and the heel did... Well, I'm not going to say he did what he did the best, but he tried. I thought the whole thing was smart because, dude, we talked about it. We were like, wait, what if they just pick Extreme Rules? And the moment he said Extreme Rules, I was like, ah! Oh, my God. But then he said, Oh, only for me. I don't know. I've never seen that before. I thought it was pretty cool. I like the whole idea behind that stipulation. Yeah, I enjoyed the match a lot.
So there were a couple other matches I want to talk about, because there were some weird-ass matches. There was some really horrific things to watch that, but not, I mean, I know it's called the horror show, but these are not intentional scary matches or whatever. This was just stuff that I could barely sit through. So, Sebi, what did you think specifically of the Eye for an Eye match? Because that was a big one.
I thought that they used the actual stipulation and worked pretty well with it. I thought the actual match itself, again, the actual match is good. The ending was just a bit of a dud. I feel like when they were trying to get at each other and try to poke at their eyes and such and try to actually use the stipulation to make a good match, I felt like they nailed it. They made the intensity what it needed to be. I feel like they did all the right things that they needed to. And the only real like downside of the match was just like the weird finish, because I didn't even realize about like the fake like googly eye type thing or whatever that Ray actually had in his face. I didn't even realize that until like I looked on, you know, Twitter and saw it. It's like, oh yeah, they did do something. I thought it was just like they faked it for a second. It's like, oh yeah, you can't see it, and yeah, that's the end of the match.
That's exactly.
I had to
what
look
thought,
back
yeah.
on Twitter right. to see like, oh, there's a guy, you know.
Yeah,
I thought it was really cool. I don't know. I mean, what do you expect? It's professional wrestling. I mean, listen, I couldn't have told you how they were going to do it. I had no clue. I don't know. I feel like they did it good. I mean, think about it. He took the thing off because he was like, I took it off. Yeah. And then he regretted that decision. And then Seth went for the already damaged eye, which was already weak. It was easier to take out. I don't know. I thought that went perfectly. Dude, Ray was sitting there crying. You saw his face. He was like, oh, like it was like, damn. I kind of felt bad. And then, you know, looking down, and then they rang the bell. I was so confused, and I see him. Oh my God! And then like you see the eye, and it's like And then Seth Rollins threw up. I mean, I thought it was really cool for what it was. I mean, it's wrestling. I mean, I'm not expecting for a full on Walking Dead gory scene of someone's eye coming out. You know what I mean? I thought it was great. I love it so much. It
might be weird, but that's kind of what I wanted. I kind of wanted the eye actually popping out and hanging from.
But how the hell would they do that?
CGI.
Apparently, they were supposed to use CGI.
Right.
But like, well, Bob Broly said in the chat, like they scrapped it at like the last minute.
Yeah, and by the way, what they mentioned specifically was that Vince said that he didn't want it. He thought that it was either too gross or too stupid. Too gross, I understand, but for Vince to think something is too stupid means it must be really awful. So I kind of would like to see what they did with the CGI, because WWE's used some kind of bad CGI before. I mean, if you look at some of those...
Little puppet.
Yeah. See, some of those displays that they show on the big pay-per-views where, like, somebody's making an entrance and those kind of, like, projections of the logos, some of those are really awful looking. So I'd like to see what they would do with an eye popping out. But honestly, they could have just used Tom Savini, because he made that great Fiend mask. They could have just had him... do the eye, and he would have done a good job on that, I think. Either way, though, I feel like I was kind of disappointed, not only with the fact that the eye didn't pop out, and the fact that I didn't even notice that the eye even was anything until later on when I saw pictures of it, like Sebi said.
I don't think you were watching the same thing I was watching.
Shut up for
a
second.
Right then and there.
I'm in the middle of a fucking sentence, asshole. So when the other thing was that I was disappointed by for some reason was the fact that later on they said... Rey Mysterio is on his way to the hospital, and it looks like they'll be able to save his eyesight. And it's like, well, okay. I mean, obviously you're not going to just pretend that he can't see forever, but also doesn't that defeat the whole purpose of the match? Like, you're poking your opponent's eye out so that they can't see out of that eye permanently. But then you're just like, no, it's cool, guys. They'll probably just be able to attach it. So don't worry about it. It's all good.
Seth didn't do enough. He didn't do enough damage. He needs to go after that eye for a third time. Third time's a charm. He needs to blind that boy. Make him never see out of his right eye.
It sort of reminds me of, like, you remember when, like, Braun Strowman got the chance of a lifetime to be put over when he, like, destroyed Roman Reigns in that ambulance?
Yeah.
And, like, it was just a whole, like, segment of him just beating him up, smashing him through stuff, smashing him through the ambulance, smashing him through another ambulance, flipping that one over. Complete chaos. And then at the end of the night, they were like, oh yeah, Roman Reigns only has like a broken rib. He's going
to
be fine.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking too. It was so similar to that. I remember there was another one where it was like, I think it was like Seth Rollins maybe getting attacked by Brock Lesnar recently, where he got totally destroyed. And the commentators made it seem like he wouldn't be able to make it to WrestleMania and have the match. And then they said, they gave his injury report later, and it was like, he has minor internal bleeding. It's like, at least, I mean, you have a wrestling show. It's all fake. Just say that it's worse than it is, because you can. You can make it sound worse. It's like WCW used to, the opposite of what WWE usually does in inflating their crowd numbers. They used to have 20,000 people at a show and say they had 18,000. It's like, you have the power to say that it's worse, or that, you know, that it's more people coming to your show than it actually is. Nobody's going to call you on it. Just do it, because you're a fucking wrestling show that everybody knows is fake already. You can make it sound worse than it is, even if it's not. Like, I just don't understand that. It's just silly.
That is kind of true, because when you think about it, all the wrestlers really lie about their height and their weight and all that. So why not lie about the other stuff? I see what you mean by that. It makes sense to do that. You're right.
So before I get to the other matches that I wanted to talk about, I do want to know, Phil, you are often very positive about wrestling, just in general. You have
right.
much
I'm a
happier...
professional wrestling fan, yes. That enjoys watching wrestling, yes.
I enjoy watching wrestling too, but there are things I dislike about it, and it seems like there are very few things you dislike about it, which is why several episodes ago we had our bottom five list, specifically because I wanted to find out what you actually disliked, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of it. I gotta know, because I hated this pay-per-view. I hated Extreme Rules, to be totally honest. There were some bright spots. I liked the tag team tables match. I liked the eye for an eye, except for the finish. And there were some other matches. Yeah, Sasha versus Asuka was good until the finish, too. We'll get to that. And, you know, there were things I liked on it, but for the most part, I thought this was a really bad show. Was there anything, Phil, that you didn't like about this show that you thought was bad?
Wait, hold up. Let's talk about... You didn't talk about the freaking tag team match. The stacked tables powerbomb. That was freaking awesome.
No, I know what you like about the show. You like anything with tables.
I'm just saying, you didn't mention it. Something I didn't like about the show. Okay. What were the matches again? It was the tag match. It was Sasha. I mean, I liked the Sasha match. Sasha and Asuka. I mean,
right.
I enjoyed it. I loved it because I'm a fan of Sasha, and I want her to win at all costs. And I thought it was perfect. She's the champion, even though Stephanie McMahon said she isn't. In my heart, she is. So that's what really matters. What else? What else happened that night? What do you think of the swamp thing? I mean, I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, yeah,
it's another cinematic thing. I don't know. I liked it. I don't think there was anything I really didn't like. I mean, there wasn't anything I completely hated. I enjoyed the show.
So I don't want to. I'm not trying to like tell you how to feel about these things, because that would be stupid. You can like it or dislike it. By all means, please do. I'm just confused, because it seems like the things that I hate, that I think are bad about wrestling, you end up defending every single time, and it's just confusing to me.
Confusing? No, I said it. I'm a fan of the art of professional wrestling, and I enjoy my time watching it, and I feel entertained when I watch it.
Right. No. No shit. Yeah. No. I.
Yeah.
I like wrestling too, by the way. Right. I, you know, there's a reason that I do this podcast every week. I wouldn't do it if I didn't like wrestling. But there are things I don't like about wrestling. I mean, there.
What don't you like?
I think if you go back to the archives, you know exactly what I don't like. There's plenty of things I don't like.
No, give me like a general topic of what you don't like.
What, like right now?
Just wrestling, just professional wrestling. Like, what's something you just don't like about it that they do?
I don't like. I don't like scripted promos. How about that?
Okay.
Overly scripted promos.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can agree with that. I mean, there's sometimes that a writer could have something good that is scripted, but I prefer natural organic promos over scripted promos.
So there we go. At least we can agree on some things. But
see,
do you think? And yeah, Urkajerk. There you go. Urkajerk brings up another good point. The WWE. Disrespects their fan base a lot of the time, and specifically when they do the same thing over and over again, like the same style of thing. Like, I remember a couple months ago, there was a time when they had five shows in a row, including like Raws, SmackDowns, and NXTs, where a challenger pinned a champion and earned a title match in the future. 5 in a row, and every single one of those, the commentators are the same call. So and so has pinned the United States champion or whatever. Every like 5 in a row, and that just felt like so like shitty. Like you can't do more than that. You can't come up with, like a more unique thing week to week. You know?
Yeah.
So that's, I see what you're saying. It's mostly for me. It's what I don't like is when it's derivative and when they don't try. Because when they do try, it's the greatest thing on earth. When they do try, you have moments like the mini boogeyman behind me, I'm trying to point at it. Mini boogeyman. That is when they try. No, but that's, you get great. Some of the greatest moments in my pop culture watching experience. Like the reason I like wrestling and have liked it for 10 years is because it's brought so many incredible moments to my life that I'll never forget. But it's also unfortunately brought us a lot of things that feel very like there isn't a reason I should be watching it. So like Boulevard Blaze is saying too, like, what is something you legitimately don't like about wrestling besides what he's saying, besides the wrestlers and the promoters and the fans? Well, so okay, what don't you like about wrestling as a construct? What do you not like on a week to week basis?
On a week-to-week basis? I don't know. I have no clue.
There's nothing. I'm telling you.
I don't know. I'd have to think. I'd have to sit here and think about something I don't like. I mean, I didn't like Roman Reigns main eventing WrestleMania for like 6 years in a row.
Okay, yeah.
That was highly annoying. I didn't like John Cena constantly burying people. I hated that. Yeah. What else? I mean...
I got one.
Yeah, what? Go ahead.
The overuse of dive spots.
Oh, really? Okay. See, that's it.
Obvious dive spots. You can do a good dive spot every now and then.
Yeah.
But you know, like group dive spots where like there's just like one by another, people are in like the outside of the ring, and you could obviously see them just looking up, ready to take like the fall of whoever's jumping off. I hate that. You could do a good dive spot though, because it was done last night on Raw. You saw in the tag team match between MVP and Bobby Lashley against Ricochet. It was the six-man tag. That's what I mean. There's the spot where Ricochet and... Was it Cedric Alexander? They were holding both... they were trying to hold Bobby Lashley in place. And Bobby Lashley was just focusing on them. And he didn't look at Mustafa Ali, who was ready to jump at him. That was a good dive spot because you couldn't see him looking at him. Therefore, it was a good spot because in theory... It was a surprise. It was meant to be surprising. God damn it. There's a fire whistle, my bad.
Yeah.
But when you see like certain like indie things, and I love, you know, certain indie stuff like that, where like, you know, like the certain quirks of independent wrestling.
Holla, if you hear me.
Exactly. I live literally a block away from like a fire hall. Sorry about that, but you see like at certain like, you know, indie wrestling events, or this one actually happens a lot in AEW, and I love AEW, don't get me wrong, but it happens a lot where you have like the obvious dive spot, everybody's on the outside and they're obviously looking up ready to take it. It's just like, I mean, can you just look away next time? Like, yeah. Try to sell like your injuries more on the outside, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. That interesting thing about that is that it's more of like an internet guy like thing that they're you know, like there's a lot of things people on the internet, the typical like smark fans, hate that are, you know, mostly having to do with WWE and the way they run their stuff. And that's like the opposite. That's something that like I feel like a lot of them like. So it's interesting to hear you say that. Phil, what do you think about those spots?
Yeah. I love dive spots. But I do like it, of course, when it's more sorry, I like wrestling jackets. I do like it more like Sebi was saying, when you know, they don't see it coming and it's like, whoa. Something I didn't like was the spot that Cedric and Ali and Ricochet did. They did not rehearse it enough and it disappointed me. Cedric, they were both trying to do the handstand springboard backflip Superman pose thing, and Cedric messed it up. He was out of sync, and then he flipped too far back. It really disappointed me.
He went out of frame.
He did go out of frame. Oh my god! I mean, they played it off well because I think one of the wrestlers went more to the right. to where Cedric was already facing when he landed, so they kind of played it off well. But that bugged me. It was like, damn, if they landed that, if they nailed that, I would have been so happy.
That's a good point, I guess. So one thing I want to talk about. Sorry, it's totally blew you off there. Yeah, it's a good point, I guess. But like,
guess.
Come on, I've heard better ones. No, you're right. But so one thing I want to get to before we move on from Extreme Rules 2 is the Sasha and Asuka match. Right. Now we had a big argument about this. We were going back and forth via text earlier during the show and everything, where you were convinced that Sasha Banks had cleanly won this match, and that that meant that you get a point in the prediction game because you picked Sasha Banks. And I was thinking Asuka must win by disqualification because Bayley, well, the referee was hit with the mist, and Bayley came in the ring when she wasn't supposed to. And I mean, we can go back and forth about whether the legitimacy of this. Ultimately, the match was declared a no contest, so nobody gets a point for that. But did you actually enjoy this finish? Because this felt to me like such a stupid thing. Why would Bayley? I mean, because they're heels, I get it. But like, why Bayley gets in the ring, puts a referee shirt on, and just counts the three, and then everybody kind of just accepts. Oh well, she ran off with the title, including you. But I don't know. I found this really annoying to watch.
I don't know. I thought it was cool. I've never seen that be done before.
Oh, I have.
I was hoping Stephanie was gonna be like a true heel and be like, oh yeah, Sasha's champion. But no, she didn't have our backs. She let me down, and now they're fighting for the title again. But Sasha made a point on Raw that Asuka didn't even win the title. She did get it handed to her from Bayley. I'm not Bayley, from Becky Lynch. And I kind of forgot about that. And it's like, huh, that's interesting.
It's a good point, now, but she's defended it several times. Now, so she earned it. At this point, she earned it because she won the Money in the Bank, and then she's defended it several times against all the main challengers. So, I mean, at this point, she's basically earned it.
Yeah, she did earn it, but, you know, when she first got it, she did get it handed to her.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to the match that they're going to have. I'm really hoping Sasha's going to win.
It's not going to happen.
So all will be good in the world.
Right.
We'll have Bayley two belts and Sasha two belts, two straps. And I think that might end, you know, wars, honestly.
So as a quick summary of Extreme Rules, we have, as far as the prediction points go, I won the predictions for Extreme Rules specifically, 4-2. Specifically, we both picked Bayley and Bray Wyatt to win their matches, and they did. I don't technically know if the Bray Wyatt win counted because
he
just pulled him in, but because he was the last one standing, I just counted it. We both got a point for it anyway, and neither of us got points for Rey Mysterio, because we both picked Rey Mysterio to beat Seth Rollins, and that didn't happen, as well as Asuka Sasha, which was no contest, and Apollo Crews versus MVP, which didn't happen, so neither of us got a point for that. Although you still tried to insist that MVP won.
I could have sworn I picked Seth, but I don't remember, honestly. I don't remember.
No, we both took Mysterio pretty decisively. Specifically, the points that I got over Phil were with Drew McIntyre over Dolph Ziggler, and I picked Shinsuke Cesaro against The New Day. So I won the predictions for that, which puts us in an interesting position, because since nobody got points for Cruz MVP or Asuka Sasha, the only two points that were actually gained in opposition to each other were me getting those 2 points that I mentioned. So the score now is 36-34. 36 points for Phil, 34 points for me. And it's very tight. I thought this was going to be the point where
tight.
I maybe potentially overtook Phil as Mr. Predictions. And it didn't happen just because of these matches, these no contests. I feel like I still would have won them, but, you know.
Sasha won, but...
Fuck off. And so we got to wait until the next show, which I don't know. The tough thing about this is do we do predictions for Sengoku Lord, the next New Japan show? Because the only big matches on that are matches that it seems pretty obvious who's going to win, so it's probably not worth it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we should do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it. But if you're interested, the matches that are happening are Evil versus Hiromu Takahashi for the double titles.
Takahashi!
Okada versus Yujiro. Both matches that you picked... One of the guys in that match that they're again not going to win here, and they didn't win the first time you picked them. So, hey, you could go for those big ones, and I put points on it, but not going to happen. And then
I'm not
there's
picking,
also,
but I want, you know, I want Takahashi to win.
I know you do, and honestly, I'd be okay with that too. Shingo Takagi versus El Desperado for the NEVER title. So those matches are happening. It's very obvious who's going to win each one of them. So we don't have to talk about it. Before we move on, Seb, you got anything else?
I actually have a question for both of you.
Okay.
In relation to the AEW TV title or TNT title, excuse me.
Yeah.
Who do you think should be the one to beat Cody for it?
Ooh.
Darby Allin.
I agree with you. That's what my answer is, dude.
I would love to see Darby Allin beat him, but you know, I'm gonna go with a curveball. I'm gonna say Sean Spears. Because hey, hear me out. Because I love the idea of him and Tully Blanchard as a unit, and I don't know if you see in the recent, I think it was on AEW Dark, Tully Blanchard gave him the glove, that glove that, like, the iron glove or whatever that all these NWA legends have used in the past. So he's going, like, full old school heel with Tully Blanchard in his corner with, you know, the style of wrestling he uses. The mohawk and the contacts are interesting. I don't know. I like Sean Spears, basically.
I'm kind of mid at best when it comes to my feelings for Sean Spears. I like Tully Blanchard. I'll give him that.
Right. Yeah, no, I love Sean Spears. I think he should. I think he deserves the world. But that's what I think. But you think Darby Allin, Phil?
I think Joey Janela.
Ooh.
Imagine.
That's not going to happen,
though. Okay, honestly, I think it's going to be... it's very hard because I feel like it's going to be a newer, up-and-coming guy, you know?
Really?
Like a Jungle Boy, like a Darby Allin. You know what? Sammy Guevara.
Actually, I feel like Sammy Guevara might be the one to beat him if this whole thing hadn't happened. I feel like that makes sense.
I think I still want to go with Darby Allin, but if Sammy Guevara comes back, I'm going with Guevara.
Okay, fair enough. Here's the thing. I think whoever beats Cody, that will trigger him to turn heel. That's my prediction.
Cody to turn heel, yeah?
Yeah, because I think he's already showing it. Like, if you've seen his recent matches, just the way he acts in these matches, he kind of acts like a heel. I don't know. It's a weird, like, X factor to him that I don't know how to explain it, but he feels like a heel to me already. Well, one example is he's only picking shitty opponents to defend his title against. I mean, Jungle Boy, he was his toughest opponent, and he had no choice. He had to defend against him because he won the Battle Royal. Every open challenge opponent was a jobber. So, I don't know. Heel to me.
I feel like Cody's, like, theoretically speaking, if it wasn't for the fact that he's mainly facing heels, I just feel like he's already been a heel. Because, like, you look at certain stuff with him, like, take, for example, I think it was versus MJF when he flaunted his money around, like, in that briefcase where he was talking about his, like, watches or whatever. That's Ric Flair, like, rudimentary type stuff right there, which is very heelish. Or, like, just generally, like, having massive amounts of fireworks every time he comes out. That's sort of heelish. Or, like, you know, just general stuff about him, both in-ring and out of it. Like, even, like, take, for example, when he wasn't facing, like, you know, a definite heel, like when he faced, you know, Dustin at Double or Nothing last year. He played the part of a heel. And there's nothing really too far off from, like, what he did in that match versus what he does now, except maybe a bit more aggression and the fact that he's facing heel opponents most of the time in big feuds.
Yeah.
I need my older brother.
My older brother.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I think about it. Boulevard Bullies asked a question, speaking of heel turns in the chat, who turns on who, Sasha Banks or Bayley? Because we know it's gonna happen sooner or later.
That's hard. But before I get to that, I wanna say bring back the mirror jacket, baby.
Yeah. Dashing Cody Rhodes. Dashing Cody, come on.
Yeah. Smoking mirrors. Okay, so Sasha or Bayley? Damn, I don't know. It's like, that's very hard. I don't know. I really don't know. I would want Sasha to continue being a heel, but also Bayley is a really good heel too.
True.
And I don't know. Well, I'd rather. I don't know.
No.
Make a heel on heel.
She was on your bottom five a couple months ago. Ooh. By the way, hello M78 Eddie. Welcome to the stream. Please drop a follow.
Hello.
If you will.
Eddie. No, yeah, Bayley was on my bottom five, right? Wasn't she?
100%. She was your number one. Yeah, on your
dude,
bottom
I hated
five.
Her. I hated her, but like, she really grew on me as a heel. The more I hear her on commentary and just like the way she acts, I'm like, oh, she's hilarious. She's actually a really good heel.
I guess, kind of. It seems like when she's in the more unscripted kind of way, she's a better heel. I definitely did not like her when she first turned heel. I think she's going to be the one to turn on Sasha. I think because Sasha's been giving her the side eye about, like, the title. You know, definitely considering just beating her up and beating her for the belt, I guess. So I feel like Bayley's going to get, like, paranoid and just be like, you know, you clearly want the title, so fuck you.
Really?
And attack her, you know? But I would like to see, I'd prefer to see Bayley as a face again, because honestly, and Sasha's a heel, because honestly, that would be, that's the peak of NXT right there. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see that instead.
That is the peak of NXT right there. You're so right. It'd be really cool if they like did their whole thing and brought it back old school and had those classic matches that they had in NXT.
Yeah, absolutely. Erkajerk in the chat says Sasha doesn't need Bayley as much as Bayley needs Sasha, which is a very good point. And Sasha hates Bayley already, but both can't be true. Otherwise, why stick around at all? And that's very true. It's possible we're psychoanalyzing these wrestling characters on SmackDown of all places on Fox a little bit too much because WWE definitely doesn't think about them that much. But yes, if we're thinking about it from a perspective of what would we do as bookers, there's a lot to consider. But if we're thinking of it from the perspective of what does Bruce Pritchard do, he's just going to be like, fuck it, turn them both face. So,
oh God,
we'll
no.
See.
I'd hate them instantly.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Sebi, last call. Anything else?
Not really, unless you have like anything AEW that you want to talk about.
Well, what did you think of the title match, the world title match? I wasn't a fan.
Oh, with Moxley and Cage.
Yeah.
I liked it. I feel like in retrospect, the ending was sort of like duddish, but at the same time, it made sense. Like the actual match itself was good, and they're giving Moxley more of like a tactical side to him that I'm really enjoying, such as like the most of the match. Most of Moxley's offense considered, like, was him targeting the arm, even to, like, a comedic extent, because, like, he even, like, dove into, like, an armbar at one point, for Christ's sake. Like, most of that match, he was trying to go for his arm, which is less of, like, the John Moxley you just, like, usually put in your head. It's like, oh, he's a brawler, he's, you know, crazy kind of guy, you know, that sort of thing. So I like the tactical side of Moxley that they're... I don't want to say introducing, but fleshing out, rather. I like the actual match and the ending. Like, I've thought about this, and it kind of felt like a dud ending, and I feel like there is, like, more potential for Moxley to have a better match, maybe at All Out, you know, whenever they have that. But I do think that the ending made sense in relation to Taz being a manager, and he wants to make sure that Cage's arm is okay. The only problem I really had was that the hurt arm that Cage like almost tapped to and had to get the towel thrown in for him, that same arm was used to use the title against Moxley and smash it over his head. It's like, you could have, like, can you use the other arm? Like, you have, like, yeah. You basically have two arms on each side. Like, you could use one arm and it'd be fine.
It's a very good point. Yeah.
That is true. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I agree with Sebi, to be honest. Like, I thought the match was really good. I like what they're doing with Moxley. The ending, yeah, it was a little weird because it was like, I was talking about this before, like, yeah, he threw in the towel, but I mean, it kind of makes sense because it's like, you know, he was trying to tear his muscle off his bone. But I don't know, throwing the towel almost kind of makes him look weak, but it made sense, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I enjoyed it, but yeah,
oh, yeah,
Sebi, you're so right.
Rip my flesh.
Off the bone.
Off the bone. Yeah. Sebi, you're right about the title and him using the arm. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like when they promote a match for months and then just give you a bait and switch finish and they're basically just going to have a rematch. I don't like that. So that's just me. But
I don't think they're gonna have a rematch. I feel like that next step is not. Now I don't really like this idea either, but I feel like this is what they're going to do. I feel like they're gonna have Darby face Cage, and it's gonna be for the FTW title.
I like that idea. Yeah, I guess Darby Cage has to happen first.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't really like that because on one hand, I don't think Darby should keep on losing again because he's already racked up quite a few losses. But at the same time, Darby doesn't need the FTW title. I'm not sure if they're going to put the FTW title on the line, but there's a part of me that believes that they will.
Yeah.
I kind of would like it. I'd like to see the, you know, the title circulate within the people there. I want to see Darby Allin beat Brian Cage. I like the way he dove off the top rope and freaking hit him in the throat with the skateboard. Ah, brutal. That was pretty cool.
Darby Allin's one of my favorites in that company. Same.
Right, he's great.
Same, dude. Same.
Thank you for your call, Sebi.
Thank you.
Call back anytime. So we have M78 in the chat saying that Moxley is kind of the only one who works his style in AEW, which is a very good point. The CZW sort of style, the like pseudo hardcore, which I feel like kind of worked for him in WWE because it was like nobody else was doing it, so they kind of adapted to his style and had a lot of interesting gimmick matches. But here it's like maybe it's the freedom that he has, which I liked when he first came in with the, you know, his early death matches sort of thing in AEW. But as it goes on, it's like I don't know if that style works for everybody. Like when he fought Jericho, I liked that match a lot when he fought Jericho, but it feels like they could have gone further if they had a regular one-on-one match instead of a match that's just kind of like a fucking hardcore throw some chairs, have interference and stuff.
Well, that's what I need. Listen, if it was up to me, all John Moxley would be doing is a death match. Death match after death match after death match. No, I mean, John Moxley is a good wrestler, and it'd be cool to mix it up a little bit, I guess, you know? Like the way how, like, someone like Nick Gage comes to ICW in New York City where freaking deathmatch wrestling is illegal and has a good singles match, you know?
True.
It's kind of that type of vibe. So I see what you're saying, but I don't know. I like it a lot. I just love John Moxley. I love everything he's doing. I'm so happy he's back.
Shit.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Not Mini Boogeyman. So if you're on the podcast, my Mini Boogeyman 8x10 was on my wall behind me and it just fell down and landed really hard. So I don't know if Mini Boogeyman's dead. I think he's dead. I'm pretty sure he's dead. So, God. That's kind of a collector's item. I gotta see if that's okay. Hold on.
Damn. Poor guy. That sucks. Oh my God. Is it okay? Did it live? Is it damaged?
Oh, it's scratched.
Is it really?
Well, just the cover of it, though. That's all right. Oh. Anybody on the video podcast can see now a Mini Boogeyman right there. Not a Boogeyman autograph, just a Mini Boogeyman. Teddy pushed him in the chat. Absolutely true. I also have Teddy Hart behind me, which I was going to get to. I was going to get to why this picture exists. So I have an 8x10, an autographed 8x10 of Teddy Hart behind me on my wall. And in case you can't tell on the video, I stuck the Dean Ambrose head from our logo on his face to cover it up because Teddy Hart, you know, he's revealed himself to be a piece of shit at this point. So I'm not condoning Teddy Hart the man. I just wanted to have that up there as
an condoning his body
anecdote. Yeah,
you just want your body to look like his.
It's true.
It's
honestly
inspiration.
We can aspire to that.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
But no, the real reason is because the weird story behind that. It's not that weird, but it's so the picture. If you can't see, you know what? Fuck it. I'm taking it down. The picture is a picture of Teddy Hart here with Bret Hart. A picture of Bret Hart. Up in the top corner, you see that X?
Yeah.
So it's a little X in a circle, and it basically means they just took a screenshot of their computer. They didn't save the image and print it out. Took a screenshot of their computer and printed it as an 8x10 and then tried to make you pay $20 for it at an indie show.
For a screenshot.
Yeah. They literally screenshotted their desktop. Terrible.
Dude, how did they not see the X?
I don't know. It's one of those little ones of Google Images where it's a little X in the corner, and it might as well say Teddy Hart Images Pinterest underneath it.
Oh my
Doesn't,
God.
But might as well. And let me just...
You can't just download the image. You gotta take the screenshot.
You gotta. It pisses me off. But basically, they tried to sell that for $20, and guess what? I bought it just because... And that it came with another one, too, which, by the way, the other one, I don't have it in here, but... It's a Photoshop picture of Teddy Hart next to the rest of the Hart Foundation, you know, because most of them are dead. And it's literally just straight up Photoshopped. Love it. But basically...
Do they even like him?
Do I like Teddy Hart?
No, do they even like him?
No, they don't like him.
They like disown him.
Yeah. That's why it's Photoshopped, because he's never been in the same room with them. But
Jesus.
Basically... and also because Owen Bulldog are dead. But yeah, it's that picture, and then basically the two of those pictures together would be $20, and they're autographed, both autographed, and you got a picture with him with it. So I don't know, I thought it was a good deal at the time, and I wanted a picture with him, and he was a nice guy in person when I met him. Obviously not a nice guy in real life, but a nice guy at the time. And I had to pay to get that picture. So I did, and I got the picture, and I got the, and they're the worst fucking 8x10s I've ever seen. But got the selfie with him, and then what happens? Phil was with me, and then Teddy and Phil was like about to buy one too, but he's like, oh, I don't have any money. And then Teddy Hart's like, oh, it's fine, just take the picture with me. So Phil gets the picture for free, and I had to spend $20 on shitty 8x10s for it. So thank you, Phil.
Yeah, you're welcome. Beautiful. I think you could find that on my Instagram probably if you like scroll down.
I think I archived mine because I don't want to be seen with that guy. But
yeah. I am not a pedophile.
Sure, right. Sure. I don't know what that had to do with anything, but thank you for stating the obvious. So we talked about stipulation. We talked about hardcore matches in terms of Jon Moxley competing in them. And that brings us to kind of the main topic of the episode. We're going to rank our top five match stipulations. There's a lot of match stipulations. A lot of them good, a lot of them bad. There's a lot of swamp fights. There's a lot of eye for an eye matches. And honestly, we didn't take notes before this. We thought of this today, and we decided, let's just make this top five list right off the dome piece and see if we can put something decent together. Do you want to start with your number five?
My number five? You go your number five. You go first, host.
Yeah, because you don't have anything yet. My number five, I'm just going to... Look, this is not a definitive list, but I'm just going to say my number five is probably a regular traditional steel cage match. And I don't always like steel cage matches. That's why it's low on my list, is because I feel like so many of them are just, let's just have a match in a steel cage and the winner is the guy who just escapes. But if I think back to all the best steel cage matches, like you think to like a Bret Hart versus Owen Hart, you think back to like, you know, so many crazy Attitude Era Ruthless Aggression steel cage matches that have happened. It was like an excuse for them to be like really bloody, which is kind of like a cool thing. You know, you rub your opponent's face on the grates of the cage, instant blood. So I don't know, I kind of like the vibe of a steel cage match. It's kind of an interesting sort of style. A lot of them don't end up being good. We talked about the terrible Dolph Ziggler Kofi Kingston one last week, but I like a lot of them. I mean, let's go back to like Braun Strowman versus Big Show. Remember that cool steel cage match? Remember Daniel Bryan? I'm just listing any steel cage match I can remember. Daniel Bryan and versus Mark Henry versus Big Show, classic. That's probably a terrible match. I don't know. those are steel cage matches. I'm doing this off the top of my head. Okay. What's your number five?
Okay, so I'm thinking here. Number five would maybe be like an Inferno match. I think that's really cool. They don't do them anymore, dude. Sure. But it's awesome. It's really cool. I mean, people are going on fire, dude. I just love it so much. Now I'm trying to think here. I mean, we do have War Games. Let's not forget about that. That's a thing. Scaffold matches. That's also something.
Match.
I don't know if you're gonna put that on your list, but I'm just thinking of the most obscure ones. Stuff on a pole.
Those are always awful though.
On a pole matches.
Yeah.
So I mean, Inferno match. Is a death match a stipulation?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd put deathmatch somewhere on that list, but then for right now I'll put deathmatch at a number 5.
Okay.
And for deathmatch, that goes for everything. Like freaking like, you know, things that have to do with scaffold. So you know, we'll mix scaffold and deathmatch into one, all right? That's what we're doing.
Okay.
Okay, so number 5. Okay. Number 5. You know what? I'm bumping up. Okay, I'm bumping up deathmatch. Number 5 is buried alive.
Boom. Buried alive. You know what? Yeah. The more that you say match types, the more I remember how many I'd be forgetting.
Yeah.
there's enough that I could have made a top 10 probably. And now that I think about it, I shouldn't have put Steel Cage as my number 5 because Steel Cage matches suck. But I had to think of something. So I'm not going to change it. My number 4 on my list, I'm going to go with like a 2 out of 3 falls match. Those no, you know nice. What? No, fuck it. I'm going to go with a Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
Hell in a Cell.
Okay. Because wait.
Yeah.
Is it 3 stages of hell a stipulation?
I was about to say I would have made that my number 1, but no, I'm going to say it's not not a stipulation. Doesn't count.
Yeah, I would put that up there cuz that's like a combo pack of stipulations.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is a stipulation in itself.
It is, but it's really just a 2 out of 3 falls match with weapons. With a variety of styles, but, you know.
Oh, dude, how are we forgetting Elimination Chamber?
Oh, my God, you're right. And Royal Rumble?
Jesus, ooh, that's hard. Ooh. Now it's getting hard. Now it's getting hard.
Why didn't we think about this beforehand?
I don't know. Off the dome, baby.
True.
Yeah, this is quite hard. I mean, I definitely want Buried Alive in there because, I don't know, I really enjoy that. Okay, so then for number four... That one's tricky. I really want to either go with... I either want to go with a hardcore Extreme Rules match or an Elimination Chamber. Honestly, I love Elimination Chamber matches so much. I mean, like, classic Elimination Chamber matches. Not like now. Like, now Elimination Chamber, I mean, it's cool, but, dude, it's not the same. That, yeah. There's something I hate, the new Elimination Chamber. It sucks. It's for the weak. They have mats on the part where it used to be cold, hard steel, and they changed the freaking shape of it and everything. Like, God, I'll never get over that, dude. Honestly, highly disappointing.
Yeah,
but
you're not wrong.
Old school Elimination Chamber. Then I'll put at number 4, but also it's hard. I put Extreme Rules and Elimination Chamber tied as 1.
Wait, didn't you have Deathmatch?
I honestly, I'd put Deathmatch number 3.
Deathmatch and Extreme Rules are not different.
Oh, what? They're extremely different.
Extremely?
A hardcore match and a deathmatch, those are completely different things.
Hardcore match and a deathmatch are literally the same match.
No, they're not at all. Dude, Extreme Rules, hardcore matches, those have chairs, candlesticks, tables, ladders, steel steps, maybe a door. But a deathmatch has light tubes, fire, glass.
Well, it just depends on
plates.
How far you go with it and how Kazans, which company it's in.
Whatever the hell those are called. No, that's what a deathmatch is. A deathmatch is not an Extreme Rules match.
They're the same. No, they're the same in terms
hardcore,
of...
They have hardcore matches in ICW in New York.
No, those are deathmatches. Those are deathmatches.
Survival in GCW.
They're the same. That's no, the, because both matches are no disqualifications. They're anything goes.
A deathmatch is beyond no disqualification. That there a hardcore / extreme rules match does not have light tubes, does not have glass. It may incorporate fire.
But if you choose it to, it can.
It doesn't have scissors or freaking bottle cans on a board or freaking blades on a board.
What are you, WWE paddle. With? Oh, yeah, No Holds Barred is different, too. And also Street Fight is different. And also No Disqualification is different.
You're
and
dumb,
also
Jack.
Anything Goes match
have you been
is different.
Watching wrestling?
Unsanctioned
match
is different.
Do you know what... wrestling is? Do you know stuff about it?
No, I know some things about it, but
exactly. Thank you, Logan Stein.
No,
very
Logan
very
Stein.
Long.
You're wrong.
Deathmatch has entirely different weapons and implications, and it's a completely different style. It's beyond professional wrestling. It's not. It's its own thing. Dude.
It's garbage.
Garbage. How is it garbage? I'm just right.
You're not. Is Deathmatch your number 4? Did you ever have a number 4 on this list?
Well, I said number 4 was Extreme Rules / Elimination Chamber. Because it's hard.
Right.
I mean, that one's hard. But number 3, I said, would be Deathmatch. And Deathmatch is completely different from Extreme Rules. Dude, if Deathmatch was the same thing as Extreme Rules, then at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, we would see light tubes. We would see glass.
No, it's because right? It's in WWE, and they just don't do that style. But they've done it before.
They've done light tubes?
For... No, but remember
they've done glass. They've done gusset places.
They've done glass.
Scissors.
Yes, they've I've never done gusset plates and scissors because why would they? They've done because glass, that's though. They've done fire. You remember Edge versus Mick Foley at WrestleMania 22? That was that's a no a disqualification match, and it had a flaming match. Table.
Okay. That's a hardcore match. That's
it's not the same fucking match. Shit.
It's really not. It really is not the same thing at all.
So, okay, explain to me, please. What's the difference between a street fight and a no-holds-barred match?
I don't know. We're talking about deathmatch and hardcore match right now.
Well, it sounds like you think these are all different stipulations because they have different names.
I don't know what a no-holds-barred match, well, the no-holds-barred match is. No, I don't think that's ever even been defined.
It means no disqualifications.
A deathmatch is completely different.
Extreme Rules is the name that WWE gives to a deathmatch.
No, it's not.
But they don't.
You're calling these death matches? You're calling Edge versus Jeff Hardy Extreme Rules match a death match?
It's the same. It's so, the same lane so, they're going down.
So you mean to tell me everything that WWE ECW did was a death match?
It's not a death match, but I mean it's not like the same thing as a death match that another company like CZW would do because it's not the same
what
type of match.
Are. Death
no.
matches are CZW, GCW. Those are death matches.
They're death matches in name, and they're death matches in terms of, like, they want that to be the death match style, so they're going to use these specific weapons. But if WWE did that in an Extreme Rules match, if they all of a sudden brought out light tubes, you would say, oh, it's now a death match, even though they officially labeled it an Extreme Rules match?
I would say it's a death match. If they brought out extreme weapons that cause multiple lacerations all over your body, I would say it's a death match.
But if they called it an Extreme Rules match...
If they called it an Extreme Rules match, okay, I would say it's a WWE death match, but they would never
but
do that.
But it's not, then. Because if they're calling an Extreme Rules match, it's an Extreme Rules match, and if they're calling it a death match, it's a death match? Is that what you're saying?
I don't even know what you're saying right now. Look, a death match consists of a certain style of wrestling that has a certain set, like, weapons, right?
Okay. It's become that.
It hasn't become that. It's always been that. It's been that since the 90s.
There's no dictionary definition of deathmatch. A deathmatch in real life would be a fight to the death, and none of these are that, except for Misawa's a great match in 2009, or Owen Hart versus The Godfather. That's not the point. The point is the fact that they're all matches that don't have disqualifications.
A deathmatch is not the same. Dude, deathmatch is beyond wrestling.
It's not beyond wrestling. It's...
What?
Unless it happened in a bingo hall in Massachusetts, then it's not beyond wrestling. Get it?
I get it.
Okay.
Deathmatch wrestling is completely different from an extreme rules match, a hardcore match. Please call in.
Boulevard Bullies. The Skype is my name, Jack Peterson.
Because this guy is insane.
With Fightgeist in parentheses, Jack Peterson Fightgeist. Anybody can call in. By the way, we can get multiple people on the line. Anybody call in, please.
Exactly. Even back then, FMW and IWA Japan. Their death matches were way different than ECW.
ECW never used the term death match.
Because they didn't do death matches.
Yes, it's the same. No, they did do death matches because, death matches by your definition because they had fire. They had sometimes glass, I think, right? I don't know. But they had barbed wire.
Yes, they had fire. Fire doesn't make it a death match. Honestly, the main weapon that makes it a death match, to be honest, I'd say it's probably a light tube.
It's not. Look, well, Pat's gonna call in, and we're gonna have this argument. In the meantime, let me just
say, you're absolutely insane.
In the meantime, I'll just say my number three on my list. I think I said my number four, right? Did I say my number four?
No. Did you?
Did I? Shit.
Did no, I? No, you said steel cage, and you said, what'd you say?
Fuck. I think I said something, so I'm just going to skip it. I said Hell in a Cell, because they're not always good matches these days. Like, the modern Hell in a Cell is not always, it's like a hit or miss, you know?
We're going old school Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But it would be, I don't know, with just the old school ones included, it would be higher. I would say my number three, though, is going to have to be, okay. All right, here's a curveball that might piss you off, but I don't know. My number three is a singles match.
I knew you were going to say that.
You knew I was going to say that?
I knew you were going to say that.
What do you think of that? I don't know.
Honestly, you can't call yourself a wrestling fan without liking a singles match.
Oh, okay.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. So, I mean, it makes sense. But I would pick other obscure matches over a singles match. But I do love a good old singles match, you know?
Right. Well, we've had many good ones. There's a lot of matches that can only be done as a singles match, you know? Like, okay, the greatest wrestling match of all time, Edge versus Randy Orton, had to be a singles match. Because that if it had weapons, you couldn't call it, like, you know, these two just had a great match. I mean, it could be a great match, but you couldn't just say these two just went in there and boom, great match, you know? So it's like, it's a lot easier to have a great singles match because it shows the skills of each person. So your number two.
My number two. No, my number three.
You said your number three. You said your number three was a death match.
Okay, number two. Actually, number two is Hell in a Cell. And we're talking about old school Hell in a Cell. You know, people going through cages and shit, dude.
Right.
I mean, today's Hell in a Cell, it always gets my hopes up. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have a good time enjoying Hell in a Cell, but, you know, I'm always like, are they going to do it this year? Is someone going to go through the cages? You know what I mean? And it's like, damn. But, yeah, number two is definitely Hell in a Cell. What is your number one?
Oh, wait, no, my number two first.
Your number two.
My number two is a 2 out of 3 falls match. And I know that I just said singles match, but I think that's an umbrella that kind of captures three stages of hell for one. And it also is the type of match where it's like you can always kind of assume that it will be a better match than it would have been as a regular one-on-one because it's three matches potentially. You know, you're getting at least two. I'm echoing a little bit.
Oh, my bad. That's fair.
Oh, yeah, no worries. So, yeah, you know, you're getting, like, three matches for the price of one, in theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe two. And I don't know. When I play 2K,
right,
I always, when I have, like, a big feud and I have two great wrestlers who have, you know, cool matches or whatever, I'm like, oh, how do I end this feud? I put them in a 2 out of 3 falls match because I know that if I put them in an Extreme Rules match, it wouldn't necessarily showcase these two guys can have a great match together. So, like, you know. We are joined by a guy whose caller ID I cannot see, but we're joined by a guy.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Can the stream hear me?
Oh, yes, and I know who this is at this point. This is Pat.
Yes, hello. How are you?
I hope the stream can hear you.
Now, you know, first of all, is this Golfgeist, the alternative golf podcast?
It is soon, when Phil takes over next week.
Yeah, that's pretty much the whole theme of next week.
You're finally celebrating episode 20, and it's like, all right, we're shifting formats. We're now a golf channel.
Yeah, exactly.
I can think of nothing more exciting.
That's basically what I did last night. Colt Cabana rated us with over 100 people, and I was just like, it's 2 in the morning, and me and Phil are just playing golf. Like we.
Yeah.
I heard about that. That's like the weirdest thing for Colt Cabana to choose, which is why I'm trying to get – I'm trying to see if, like, you know, a Rusev could potentially raid us today because I feel like – I don't know. Maybe his fans would be interested in this.
Well, you know what? You know what's so wild? And I'm sorry. I feel like I'm loving your discussion. I'm a huge fan of this podcast. I love to listen to it and scream at my computer screen.
Me
at
too.
Phil.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm like I always just yell. I'm like, fix your light, Phil. God damn it. But so I'm sorry to derail your thing. I feel like there's a lot to talk about. I need to set you to young boys straight on the difference between ECW Extreme Rules, deathmatch, what makes a deathmatch. You guys are so lost.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, you're so lost. Because think about it this way. You guys play wrestling video games enthusiastically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, singles match is not a stipulation.
No, it 100% is.
It's not it's not a stipulation.
It's a stimulation, though.
It is a stimulation for wrestling weirdos such as ourselves, but when you are selecting your match in the video game, the first thing you do is single, tag, tornado tag, triple threat. So it's like that's really just the classification of what match you're doing. And then after that, you pick the stipulation. So just the singles match, like single, tag, things like that, that's just your foundation. Before you even put the stip on it.
But then would you say that a triple threat or a fatal four-way is not a stipulation?
Okay, well, based on that, I would be willing to make a slight compromise and say, okay, Fatal 4 or Triple Threat can be a stipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But singles match, that's like saying, oh, my favorite baseball type, my favorite type of baseball game is, you know, regular.
But what types of baseball games are there, though? Regular, all-star? It's kind of it.
Home run derby.
Okay, all right, sure.
You do home run derby. You know, you could do like a softball type of, like, you do like beer league softball stipulation chug before leaving the base.
Okay,
that's a good point.
I'm failing to figure out the right analogy, but it's like saying instead of ordering a cheeseburger, you say like, hey, can I have a hamburger with cheese?
You know? Yeah, that's like a good point. That's a good point.
You just don't do it.
Well, also, when you're in the game, you click on singles normal.
Yeah, match. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Since you click on normal, yeah, that's automatically a match type, isn't it?
No, so, okay, it's normal.
Fine. If you want to say it that way, I'm trying to help you out, but I'm just saying normal singles is not a stipulation.
Okay, well, yeah. I'll have you know it's on my top 5 stipulations, so I feel like it must be.
Okay, well, there you go. You got me. So wait, could you do a quick, very concise recap of where you're at with these top 5 stipulations?
Oh my God.
I was eating Wendy's. Just go 5, 4, 3. Just bring me up to speed here. I'm really interested.
Let me see if we even can, because we couldn't remember what our number 5s were at number 4. So let me see.
You're off the top. You don't have anything written down.
No, not at all. We didn't prepare at all for this episode, specifically this one. But okay, my number 5 was a steel cage match, which I later was like, yeah, definitely I don't like steel cage matches. I thought about it and changed it, but still sticking with that. Steel cage. Number 4, Hell in a Cell, because they're kind of hit or miss for me. Number okay. 3, number 3 was singles match. Number 4, or number 2, is 2 out of 3 falls, which includes 3 stages of hell.
Okay.
And then my number 1, I guess I'll say it now, my number 1's a traditional ladder match.
I was hoping that one of you would be smart enough to just say ladder match is number 1, because that's got to be the best, right?
Right, it's got to be.
That's like ladder match has got to be the all-time best.
I think you can't have a bad ladder match. I mean, they're, yeah. As far as a weapons match of any kind, that's the most, like, creative.
Now, before I ask Phil, I'm interviewing you guys now. Before I ask Phil, what's your favorite ladder match, Jack?
Ooh, you know, okay, this is one that nobody talks about. I don't know if this is my favorite ever, but there was a match between Rob Van Dam and Eddie Guerrero. I think it was 2002. And I remember that match being like, I hope I'm not making this up because I sound pretty stupid. I'm going to look it up right now. Rob Van Dam versus Eddie Guerrero, I think it was for the Intercontinental title. And I remember that just being like the perfect ladder match. They did all the spots exactly the way they, like, it's not like the most crazy chaotic one like a Money in the Bank would be, but I remember it just kind of being like, that's perfect.
Okay, and very quickly, what's your favorite cage match?
Favorite cage match is shit, what's my favorite cage match? Favorite cage match, I can't remember any cage matches. That's bad.
I'm going to go, my favorite one was Mankind, Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Oh, shit, totally.
In the Big Blue.
The Big Blue, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Big Blue.
SummerSlam 97, I think.
Was it 97? I wanted to say 97.
I believe it was.
And he, you know, he ripped this thing off. He took his mask off for the first time. He elbow dropped him.
Yeah.
Like with the heart on his chest, baby, right? Boy.
Yeah, so good. So good. I just found a list of every steel cage match ever, so let me try to find it on here.
You just want
to
read them? Just read them?
Yeah.
Just read for the rest of the episode?
For the rest of the episode. Whatever. 1978, so David Rose defeated Mike Gordon. That's my favorite.
What were your top 5, Prince?
You ready?
Yeah, okay. Lay them on me. I'm really interested.
Okay, so my number
By the way, feel free to hang up on me at any time.
All right, I'll hang up on you right now. Go ahead.
Number 5. I had.
Well, you said you wrote them down. Were you lying when you said that?
No, I said I had it, like, in my head. I didn't have it written down. Now I'm trying to remember what it was again. So 5 was. It was originally Inferno, but then I changed it to Buried Alive.
Okay.
Buried Alive.
Number 4 is Elimination Chamber, but old school Elimination Chamber. And it was also tied with Extreme Rules, because it was kind of a little bit hard for me to pick. Number 3 was a death match. Number 2 was Hell in a Cell, and number 3 was my all-time favorite match, Table of Chairs.
TLC, all-time favorite all TLC.
Makes sense.
And I like, I'm not talking about the old TLC where it was like tables, ladders, and chairs, but it's like pinfall. It's like, I'm talking about the one where you got to climb the ladder and all that. Like that, that is the good stuff right there.
By the way, I just looked it up, and this match that I claim to be my favorite ladder match, this Rob Van Dam, Eddie Guerrero match, it looks like it didn't happen. I might have just made this up. I swear I saw this.
Really?
Oh, I looked up cage matches. Whoops. Yeah, no, this happened. It must have.
See, the joke's on us because we've just accepted your comments as fact. We're like, oh, yeah, we remember that. We're just trying to be a part of it.
Exactly. No, okay. Rob Van Dam versus Eddie Guerrero, Intercontinental title, Raw, May of 2002. Yeah, it happened, and it was awesome. So there you go.
Well, I guess in no particular order, my top five would have to be Hell in the Cell, Ladder, Triple Threat, No Rope, Barbed Wire, like, you know, Barbed Wire Ropes match.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, what's like another one? I'm trying to think of a fifth. No Rope, Barbed Wire. Oh, I guess you just go hardcore. I just go straight up hardcore, like hardcore title days, Falls Count Anywhere. See, that's the thing. This is what I wanted to say. A hardcore match to me, a WWE hardcore match, is Falls Count Anywhere is implied. Because you remember the hardcore title, it was always Falls Count Anywhere. So if I see WWE hardcore match, I am thinking Falls Count Anywhere. You know, the original ECW match was basically no countouts, but there was, you had to pin them in the ring, there was rope break, and there was submission. So no holds barred match is no submission, no rope break, right? Pin only in the ring, no rule. Extreme rules match would be the ECW style. Classic match, except no rules, no count out. And then a hardcore match would be Falls Count Anywhere. And then I agree kind of with Phil, a death match is basically more like an extreme rules match because you have to pin them in the ring 9 times out of 10. But a death match would be there's something sharp. Like there's actually cutting of the flesh, like thumbtacks. You know, WWE kind of normalized that, but thumbtacks, barbed wire, light tubes, glass. That's really what makes it, to me, a death match, is some kind of tearing or ripping of the flesh.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah. No,
Oh, yeah, I like that. Rip my flesh.
Had to play that. So, yeah, I can see that, but I feel like inherently they're the same match, but they're interpreted different ways. Because, like, you have the idea of anything goes, no disqualifications, because the typical wrestling match would have disqualifications. And then different companies, ECW, WWE, CZW, whatever, would use the idea of no disqualifications and take it to mean different things. So, like, your CZW would take it to mean, you know, something like a Bobby Heenan rip my flesh. But somebody like in WWE, they would take it as a let's use some tables and kendo sticks, which I think I like equally as much. But I just think that it's almost like a semantics thing where they're the same match, but they're not the same people doing the match. So it would depend on how it ends up. Like, you know, if you ever have a death match right now on the indies, you're probably going to end up with something that has glass and light tubes in it.
You're probably going to wind up with a tube,
But and in WWE, that won't happen. But you never know. It could kind of go a variety of ways. Like I was saying before, with Mick Foley and Edge at WrestleMania, had a flaming table, which most WWE matches don't ever have. And
that
was probably
the closest to a death match they've ever had. Either Royal Rumble 2000, Triple H, Cactus Jack, or the one that you just mentioned with the flaming table. It's probably the closest they've had to something that's just pure death, in my opinion.
Right. And both of those were considered regular no disqualification matches, I think, or something like that. No, whatever, no rules, whatever. Because WWE has a million names for that same exact thing. But I think that's just kind of where it ends up, is like it's the same match, different styles of that match. That's just what I think.
Well, I wanna know what the chat thinks. Put your opinions in the chat. You know what's the best thing about ECW is that they just called it a match.
Right.
You know? It's just like, this is just a match. Like every match was just like, yep, this is a match. And it was like chair to the head, you know, no DQ, so good. You know what the greatest death match of all time is? Is Hell in the Cell 98, because the real requirement is that you almost die.
Yeah.
Like, that's really the only real standard measuring stick of death match, is that somebody could die. And the one match where somebody was closest to dying, I think, was the original, or not the original, but the second Hell in the Cell, Mankind, Taker, which is just in a league of its own there.
Yeah, no.
That was quite the match. Oh, my God. To this day, it holds up.
He was closest to death.
Right.
He really was.
I just watched that recently, and I was still, like, standing up out of my seat when he went off the cell. Like, it's still, like, a thing that's, like, how... You don't expect it somehow, even though it's obviously going to happen because it's so famous. It's still like a really cool, I don't know, every spot is kind of like shocking in its own way. Yeah. So
great, him coming back from the stretcher in the aisle is like, even just saying those words gave me chills. You know what's really funny? It makes it a death match too, because there were also very sloppy moments. Like, Undertaker punches him and he just kind of like keels over because he's so out of it.
Yeah,
that happens a lot in death match too, like really weird, sloppy moments.
Yeah, Sandman basically in any match.
Right. Yeah, he Sandmaned it a little bit.
Yeah. And Pat, what do you think of New Jack overall?
Oh man, New Jack. I don't think I couldn't even tell you my favorite New Jack match.
Because there are so many, or because you don't have any?
Right, because there are so many classic New Jack matches that I just think about all the time. Yeah. No, of course not. It's because when I think of New Jack, I think of him hitting somebody in the head with a Nintendo and his music playing forever.
Yeah. They're all the same match, spot for spot.
He was like, you know how we all loved Joe Exotic at the beginning of quarantine? It's like, oh, you know, on the surface, you realize that Joe Exotic is a piece of shit.
Right.
But it's like so compelling and like so wacky and interesting that we all decided to love him, ironically. I feel like that's what happened with the New Jack Dark Side of the Ring. It's like we all knew that New Jack was a terrible, terrible person the whole time. We knew inside. And then this Dark Side of the Ring thing came out, and everyone was like, oh, New Jack's so cool.
Right.
Let me tell you something, kids. New Jack is not cool. It's not cool to stab somebody while wrestling. Like, that's not – like, doing a whole bunch of cocaine for 20 years and stabbing people is not cool. Like, I'm sorry. You know, maybe I'm old, but that's just not cool to me.
I'm a fan.
Of course you are.
Of course you are.
Jesus,
I love
Christ.
New Jack. He might be my favorite wrestler.
You talk about getting close to death. That's just anybody who steps in the ring with New Jack. So I guess that's like the best death match.
Right. But any regular match with New Jack.
Yeah.
Is just, yeah. He. I mean, listen, for what he was at the time that he was doing it, he was great. But then when I peeled the curtain back and kind of saw the real story of him, like, and it's not even like in that doc, he was saying, oh, you know, I was really fucked up then. You know, I'm full of regret. I've turned my life around. He was just on coke while doing the doc. He's like, yeah,
yeah,
I love coke.
Yeah.
And I love murdering people. Like, fuck it. It's like, no, that's not cool, dude.
Yeah, no,
that's
you're not helping cool. your case.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I prayed a New Jack.
Jesus
oh
Christ.
And Nick Gage.
Nick Gage is a little different, though.
Amazing.
I mean,
he died. Well, he died and like, came back to life. And then he robbed a bank and went to jail and then came back. And now he's the leader of my game.
You are absolutely wrong, because Nick Gage didn't come back to life. He was laying in a field dying, and an EMT brought him back to life. He didn't just like pump his own heart back into beating.
Right.
Like he would have died there like a fool if it wasn't for some hero. So he's and also he didn't rob the bank. He's actually the least successful bank robber ever.
Yeah. Yeah,
he still went to jail.
Dude, that makes him cooler.
He's got cred in these streets.
If all you need to do to be cool in deathmatch wrestling is attempt to rob a bank,
and
I think we really need to reevaluate what is cool and what is not cool.
100%.
Listen. He died. He died. He's a dead man walking. He saw God.
So he's like Evel Knievel. You just love him for attempting it. Like, he doesn't need to land the 50-car motorcycle jump. You just love that he's trying it.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's the thought. He actually thought about it. And it's like, whoa, you know, those are the type of people I want to affiliate myself with. That's why I joined the Murder, Death, Kill game.
That's
By the
way,
way
you are
Eastern Bloc
gang,
Hate Club.
Gang affiliated. You guys are trying to become affiliate. If you reach 50 followers,
True.
You'll be Twitch affiliates.
Yeah, Eastern Block of Twitch affiliates. Yeah. So by the way, follow us if you haven't already. We need to get to 50. But by the way, Phil, you do realize that the reason that Nick Gage almost died is because he botched a move, and the reason that he ended up in jail is because he botched a robbery.
Right.
Yeah. That robbery botches. All-time botch.
Still went to jail.
Botchamania, 100%. Yeah, the going to jail part is not the cool part, Phil.
Yes, Fred.
Logan Steed said this. I forget if it was Logan Steed or Grundlepuss said it on my stream. He goes, Nick Gage comes out with a bandana over his face every match. Robs a bank? No bandana.
So true.
Interesting choice. Interesting aesthetic choice there.
Yeah, maybe he would have gotten away with it.
Maybe he wanted to go to jail. That's how sick he is. That's how crazy he is.
He was like, my gym membership's up, so, and I don't have money to pay for it, so I'm either going to rob this bank successfully and renew my gym membership, or worst case scenario, I'll get arrested, free gym in prison.
He was saying Eastern Bloc before he even went to jail, and he had to figure out how to make that make sense.
He handed the bank teller the note, and it just said, like, give me all the money in the safe, Eastern Bloc, Murder, Death, Kill Club. I fucking love you guys.
Yeah, and then when he got to prison, he told the bookers, or the, what do they call them, the people who take your shoes?
The warden.
Yeah, the warden, yeah. He's like, make sure I end up in Eastern Bloc, because that's like my whole gimmick.
And, yeah, if you don't put me in Eastern Bloc, I'm never going to be able to wrestle again, so you really need to like hook me up.
Yeah, honestly, you're going to kill kayfabe if you don't put me in Eastern Bloc right now.
Can we call wrestling promoters just wrestling wardens from now on?
Oh, totally. Completely. That's actually, I feel like that's pretty cool.
Oh, well, that's definitely an exact definition of Vince McMahon. He's the wrestling warden.
Yeah.
And he's got his talent behind plexiglass cages now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm telling you, it's all actually a conspiracy. He's working with Trump, and he's trying to desensitize the masses to, like, the idea of ICE camps.
Wait, with his independent contractors?
Well, yeah, he gets his NXT people to stand behind the plexiglass and, like, slam on it.
Yeah.
Like, we're hungry, we're thirsty, you know? And it's like, so that when you see the shit on the news, it's just like, well, whatever, you know?
Honestly, I think if all the kids in the cages started chanting NXT, they might get out of there faster.
They'd be like, all the white-ass ICE people would be like, oh, these kids are wrestling fans.
Holy shit.
Yo, know, what if there's a wrestler that, like, survives the ICE camps? He would be the next heir apparent to Nick Gage's crown, right? Because, I mean, yeah, you go to prison, but if you survived an ICE camp, like, you're a real fucking G.
Yeah, and he doesn't have, like, legit violent criminal stank on him, too. As far as we know.
That's really the essence. That's really the way you describe Nick Gage's, like, what makes him popular is violent criminal stank.
Exactly, and I think that's the episode title as well.
Violent criminal stank.
Love it.
All right, so I'm sorry that I've ruined your thing. I'm going to be silent. But I'm not going to hang up.
No, I think you saved the show, Pat. I'm gonna play us out at this point. My name is Jack Peterson. I'm Ajax. I'm Mr. Clean. I'm Sex Pac. I'm the Boulevard Bully. I'm Googly Eye. And, I'm joined every week by Prince Havoc himself.
Yep, I'm Prince Havoc. I'm Phil X. And, Deathmatch is different than an Extreme Rules match. Thank you for tuning in. Shout out to the new follower. Shout out to France. And Pat, take it away.
Can I do the thing that you do where you make up your nicknames?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, I haven't even thought about it, so I'm just going to try my best.
Okay, I love it.
Okay, I am Pat from the Boulevard Bullies. You can follow me on twitch.tv/Boulevard Bullies. I am the original wrestling gonzo journalist. I am a golf gonzo golfer. I am a debilitating alcoholic, and I love having my butt licked.
Yeah.
So good.
Was that good? Like?
That was perfect. It's better than Phil's nicknames. He usually doesn't have any.
That's what we need on the show.
We are the Alternative Wrestling Podcast. You can follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/FightGeistWrestling. We're on Instagram @FightGeistWrestling. We're on Twitter @FightGeistPod. We're on every podcast platform and podcatcher known to man. We're on YouTube, that's Fight Geist, the Alternative Wrestling Podcast, and we're everywhere else you can find us, social media and beyond. Keep on listening.
Can I just sing with it?
Yeah, just sing with it,
Pat.
I don't know any of the words.
I kind of know them all at this point.
Yeah.
get ready for the greatest episode of Fight Night Wrestling next week, episode 20, when I am the host.
Say that again. Nobody can hear you.
Get ready for the greatest episode of Fight Guys Wrestling ever next week. Episode 20, while I am the host. I am going to blow Jack out of the water. And, oh, man, am I going to blow your mind.
Yeah, it's going to be as great as a Sandman death match is great.
100%. Sandman versus New Jack next week. Tune in.
I love my haters. My haters love me. We'll be right back.